If you would turn in your Bibles to that passage that was read, Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. After my brother Virgil graduated from boarding school and came to the States, periodically he would send us tape recordings of the radio. Now, that might not be a big deal to you, but for us it was a huge deal because we got to listen to modern music in Pakistan as we put in our tape into our car or wherever it was. And he would send us Christian songs that came from WCBW in Columbia, Illinois, back in the day, the precursor to Joy FM, if you would. And one of the tapes had an artist on it named Don Francisco. And Don Francisco had a very unique way of singing. He was more of a storyteller, if you would, as he would bring to light the stories from the Gospels and how they connected and related to his life. And I remember one song in particular. I was trying to find it, but he was singing about the man among the tombs. And as he introduced this song, he said, "This is me. This is my life. This is who I am before Christ came and awoken me." And it reminded me that as we come to this passages of scripture, that I hope that throughout the scriptures you find best friends. People who are like you or have similar situations, who have pointed you to Christ in all of his fullness. And the lessons that you learn from them are so ingrained in your heart because somehow they helped you to understand the fullness of Jesus. We don't just take comfort because people have the same issues and problems as we do, and that's not the only lessons we learn, but we're always pointed to Christ. And so most of all, my prayer this morning is that you would see through these encounters Christ. And we're going to continue our short study of women in the Bible, and today we're going to talk about this woman who stopped Jesus in his tracks. Now that takes a lot if you think about it for just a moment. There are people who Jesus actually marvels at, the Roman centurion, and this woman stops him dead in his tracks. This ordinary woman with extraordinary faith that points us to Jesus. So let's pray this morning as we come to his word. Father, would you open the eyes of our heart? Though our situations and circumstances may look very different from that of this woman, we may not even be able to relate to her in too many areas, but she has a problem and she is brought to Jesus, and in this encounter, through her situations, we see Jesus more fully as she did. And so we pray that our eyes would be opened this morning as we come to this passage. For he asks us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this encounter, I want us to see four things, simply four takeaways from this passage that we see through this encounter. They're all P's. Good Presbyterians always alliterate, or we're told to. But I have four instead of three, so bear with me. The first P is problems. The second P, if you're into this kind of thing of writing down your notes, is priorities. The third P is power, and the fourth P is praise. The first takeaway is problems, and how do we view our problems? Most of us, I think, look at problems and we just want to get rid of them. Please just get them away from me. And I want to suggest to you that this passage allows us to see problems through a very different light. And in what light would that be? Might not our problems, our daily events, the issues in our lives, the situations and circumstances that burden us, might they not be a gateway to greater faith in Jesus Christ? Might we not say simply, "I want to get rid of this problem"? Of course we do. That's part of human nature. But this woman comes to Jesus with a particular problem. She comes in faith, and I would suggest to you that her faith grows, not despite her problem, but because her problem drew her to Jesus Christ. And maybe this morning Christ is pointing out problems that you have, that instead of just having the ease of life, that he may want to use to actually ask you to come to him by faith. And that moment of faith will grow your faith exponentially in the person of Jesus as he encounters you in the problem. In this text, we see the problem that this woman is having. We are told in the first couple of verses that there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and she spent all of her living on physicians, and nobody could heal her. And that's the presenting problem, if you would. We see the fact that we see the duration of this problem. This woman had a discharge of blood for 12 years. It was a costly problem to her. We're told that she spent all of her money on physicians and yet to no avail because nobody could heal her. Now, this discharge of blood, most commentators would suggest to us, is probably an issue that related to this woman's menstrual cycle that didn't end. Now, that would be a problem in and of itself for women, which I am not aware of, obviously. But there was a greater problem. This was a discomfort for 12 years. This was an area of, frankly, for her, would have been an area of shame for 12 years. But more importantly than that even, this was a problem that had a great cost to her, because she was considered spiritually unclean. So for 12 years, this woman had not been allowed to be in the temple to worship or pray because she had a discharge of blood. Now, where do we see this? Leviticus, if you would turn in your Bibles to Leviticus chapter 15, we're given laws towards this end. Let me just read a couple of verses for us to help us to understand the context in which this woman finds herself. Now, a discharge of blood might be a wound that doesn't heal as well, because earlier in chapter 15, it talks about men who have similar issues of bleeding that are that would be obviously different from her, but a wound. But this is what it says in verses 19 and on. Whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. That's the normal reality of what was going on. Anyone who touches her, that's important, at that time will be unclean until evening. And everything on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean. Everything also on which she sits would be unclean. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever touches anything on her which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and will be unclean until evening. Now, this lady's issue of blood made her impure before God, according to Leviticus and the law of God. But nobody also could touch her. So it was a problem with intimacy. It may have caused her to not be married. in marriage, if she was married, it would have caused significant problems because her husband would be made unclean because of her. And normally this would have been for a period of time, but the passage tells us that this was a continual reality for this woman for 12 years. Unfortunately, maybe fortunately for me at this time, we don't have time to explain the purposes of the other laws of Levitical law, but we take it as she would have understood it at this time. And here she is with this problem. Long in duration, costly. And she comes to Jesus. And all these issues bring her to this point in time in an encounter with Jesus in which she has faith. And now her faith is going to be blown into a highly greater understanding of the person and the purposes of Jesus Christ. Problems are bad, is how we view our problems. But maybe we could view our problems as a gateway to step out in faith. We don't know what the end will be. She did not know what the end will be, but she stepped out in faith and she touched Jesus' hem, the hem of his garment, and that opened up to her a deeper understanding of the one who is faithful. And I wonder how many times we miss out. Like the song we sing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. We don't always take our concerns and our problems to Jesus Christ. Now, this woman's issues were obviously different. But sometimes with us, we can spend our 12 years in our own strength, can't we? Trying to deal with our problems. And sometimes we can go to great extents. Now, I'm not suggesting don't go to doctors. That's not the point at all here. But it can be of great cost to us. And in the end, we realize what we should have just done is we should have gone to Jesus in faith and allowed him to work through whatever means he so desired for his glory. Because when we do that, in faith in Jesus Christ, no matter what means God will use, our faith helps us to recognize that God is a God who meets us. Not after our problem, but in our problem. And through our problems, he expands our understanding of who he is. The second takeaway is not just problems, but priorities. Because as we turn into this passage, we recognize our priorities versus Jesus' priorities. Our priorities are often this. Our time is of profound value and often over the priority of people. Jesus' priorities were people first, and time wasn't his priority. Now, how do we see this? Because we think time is very important. We live in a Western culture. You should never be late for anything. If that's what really bothers you, don't go to Pakistan. I just encourage you not to do that, because to no end you will be bothered to a point that God will break you. Or if you go to even a Hispanic culture, that can be the case as well. Time's important. Now, there was a person in this passage to whom time was very important. They're not in this passage, but they're all around this passage. What's happening around this passage, and that's why I would encourage you to look in your Bibles, is that Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus was a synagogue leader, and his daughter was sick and to the point of death. And Jairus comes to Jesus, and he says, "Would you come to my house and heal my daughter?" And Jesus is moving towards Jairus' house with all of these people surrounding him. And all of a sudden, he stops. And he says, "Who touched me?" And Peter looks around and he goes, "Everybody's touching you." And you can just imagine Jairus going, "Come, Jesus, we don't have time for whatever you're about to do. My daughter is about to die." And Jesus stops and he heals this woman. And as he turns again, a man comes from Jairus' house and he says, "Your daughter is already dead. Don't bother the master anymore." And you can just imagine Jairus' heart. For him, time was of the essence. For Jesus, people were of the essence, and his daughter would be raised from the dead. Why? Because God is sovereign over time. He's not worried about time. For this woman, 12 years, and then in a 12-second period, she is healed. Jesus heals this woman and raises Lazarus from the dead, and both are important to him because he is sovereign over time. And we need to rest and recognize that sometimes for us, time becomes more important than people. And I wonder if we entrust our time into the sovereign hands of God, knowing that he takes care of all things, so that we can place a greater priority on people. Notice that Jesus' priority, later Jairus' daughter and Jairus himself, but here with this woman is people. He says, "Who touched me?" And Peter says, "Master, the crowd surrounds you and is pressing in on you. Everybody is touching you." But Jesus says, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." Isn't that good news? Someone touched me. Therein lies the whole essence of the gospel. Someone touched me. In other words, among all of these people wanting a piece of me, Jesus says there is someone who thinks there are no one, and yet in faith she believed and was healed. She isn't a no one. She is a someone who had faith in Jesus Christ. And that's good news for many of us who live our lives thinking we're nobodies. That Jesus will stop and say, "No, someone of profound significance to me had faith in me. Therefore, she was healed." And all of a sudden we realize that Jesus brings out of this person, that brings this person out of the shadows into the presence of his glorious light. Because the object of her faith made her well. And he brings her forth to help others to recognize her faith in him. Michael Card writes a song entitled "Jubilee." And as this woman comes out of the shadows, she is trembling, it says, because in some way she's been caught. And in this song, Michael Card writes this line, "To be so guilty and given over to despair, to look into my judge's eyes and see a savior there." This woman comes, why is she trembling? "Because I am unclean. And I've touched Jesus, therefore he must be unclean, and he's going to be very angry." But Jesus has the opposite in mind. She is unclean, and she touches him and gains his cleanliness as power leaves him, and he helps her to see who she is in him. And just recognize this for a moment. as a believer, what does this mean for us? First, as we pray and minister in the name of Jesus, we need to recognize that God is sovereign. And as he leads us into people, he will use our time there and he will take care of that which we think is important and valuable as well. And second, we need to recognize that we will see, as we will see in a moment, as we minister to people in Jesus' name, we need them, people, we make them a priority over our time, and Jesus uses it in their life, in our life, to point to him. The third takeaway is power, that Christ's power is availed to us. This woman's step of faith shows us the power of Jesus that is availed in a very unique manner. This is the only miracle, I believe, in the New Testament where somebody else does the touching and is healed without, according to her, the knowledge that Jesus healed her. Meaning Jesus is not doing the touching, she is doing the touching. But notice something very important. Jesus says that I perceived power left me. And why is that important? Because Jesus' miracles are not tricks. They're not magician's tricks that we can do and say, look at the outcome, but nothing came from me. As we come to Jesus looking for miracles, what is at work here is the creation power of God. God, through Jesus, created all things by what? The power of his word. Power, God's creative power in the person of Jesus Christ, took from his creation that he had formed, that was broken by sin, and now the power of God redeems and makes that whole once again. When we pray, we're not asking Jesus just to wave his hand over something and make a magic trick happen. What we're asking for is, God, would you come in power? Would you come in creation power? But we live on the side of the cross, brothers and sisters. And Paul says that it is not only creation power, but it is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Therefore, what we are unable to do, God, through the power in Christ Jesus, through creation and the resurrection, is able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. Ephesians. Is that how you come to Jesus? Because you know his power is constantly at work. Guess what? The sun rose this morning because God told it to. He put it in that sphere of doing exactly what he commands. And if God told the sun not to rise this morning, guess what would happen? The sun wouldn't rise. So do you come asking for the power of God to be revealed? See, brothers and sisters, if our problems just go away by pixie dust, then we just move on. But if we come to Jesus, being availed of his power, then something else is done within us. And I believe that we should ask for healing in Jesus' name. We should come and say, God, would you avail your creation and resurrection power upon this situation in accordance with your will? We should pray for salvation because Jairus' daughter is about to be raised from the dead, and I have people in my family that need to be raised from a spiritual deadness unto life, and only you, Jesus, have the power to do that. And I come because I come in faith. A little though it may be, and touch the hem of your garment, would you do something that will blow my mind and grow my faith and raising the dead before my very eyes. Father, here's a situation that I have no control of. In fact, it controls me. And the more I think I have control, the more it actually controls me. Would you redeem it and buy it back through the blood of Jesus Christ? Father, here's my marriage. And I raise my hands because 12 years and lots of counseling has done nothing. Would you come in power? I have nothing left to give, and reconcile us to you. And the final and fourth is when power comes, then praise is the response. One of the reasons Jesus reveals this woman is very important. Now you might say, I don't see any praise anywhere. The one reason why Jesus reveals this woman is because he wants her to connect him to his power. Now that's very important. Because it's not just about power. It's about Jesus and his power. It's not just about the power of Jesus. It's about Jesus who avails us of his power. There are too many people, if you've been going to David's class, there's too many people this day who view Jesus as a source of power to take their problems away. They're not really interested in Jesus. They just want to use him for a better life. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the resurrection and the life. And yet too many Christians today think God as a celestial vending machine and faith as the quarters that they need to put in to get what they want. Now God's power came, and Jesus wants her to connect her healing not with power but with a person. Do you notice what Jesus calls her? So gentle, so gracious, it's so loving that the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, incarnate in Christ Jesus, would say, daughter. See, this is about a relationship of with a person living. It's not just about power. And all if you're just interested in power, then you'll find it elsewhere. If you're interested in Jesus, you'll find power with a person who exhibits love. And all of a sudden, what you will be connected to is the person of Jesus Christ. And inevitably, what's going to happen is praise. And the reason it's going to be praise is because now there's a person to be praised for the power he availed unto you. Let me just close with this. What's your problem? If you don't have any problems, well, good for you. What's your problem? And what are you going to do about it? Something to get rid of to make life easier? Or is the problem a grace, maybe even a severe mercy, in order to be able to come to Jesus by faith and in the end find more of Jesus than anything else? That's the invitation. Because Christ wants to be exalted above all else in your life and mine. And sometimes the gateway through that is not the ease of life, but the problems of life through which we encounter Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We're going over, but thank you that we can praise you. And I do pray that as we come and lift our voices and exalt you, Father, you would be pleased Father, that we wouldn't just rush through our time of praise. There's been a lot going on in our service. But that our hearts would respond because we've met you. And you've taken nobodies out of the shadows and made us somebody in Christ Jesus, that we may praise you and adore you, both now and through eternity. For we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.